All right, it's about time to get started. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to attend this session. I'm Uni Ravindranathan, and I'm a program manager working on Visual Studio. Today, I'm going to be taking you on a tour of some of the new XAML tools we have built in Visual Studio 2015. I'm really excited to show what we have today. By the way, I'd like to extend a special welcome to everyone that's watching online through Channel 9. Welcome to the session as well. So today we're going to be doing a tour of a bunch of new experiences in Visual Studio. And in the interest of time, I'm going to try to go through this as fast as I can. But I'd really appreciate if you have any questions about anything that we're going to see today, just raise your hand. No need to wait till the very end of the presentation. Feel free to ask the question, and I'll make my best attempt at addressing it. We're going to look at the new XAML language service and the XAML literature that we have built in Visual Studio 2015, primarily to address a bunch of feedback that we have heard from you guys. We're going to take a tour of the new Blend. We've built Blend from the ground up to address some of the key feedback we have heard from you. And then I'm going to take you through a tour of my favorite new feature in Visual Studio 2015, the UI debugging tools for XAML. I'm going to show you what you can do with these tools, where we are today, and where we will be going forward. I'm going to show you some of the profiling tools. In particular, we have added a couple of new cool 2015 profiling tools, namely the timeline tool that helps you understand UI responsiveness issues in your application. And then finally, I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about form factor adaptive apps for universal Windows platform apps. Now, the one thing I should make very clear is for most of these demos, I'm going to be doing it in the context of WPF, but the experiences are equally applicable to any XAML application. So you may be building a Windows 8.1 application or even a Windows 10 universal application. You'll notice that all of these experiences work pretty consistently across all XAML apps. The only exception is the last one, the form factor adaptive apps. I'm going to do a demo in the context of a universal Windows app. Before I get started, I'm just curious, how many of you actually build a WPF app today? Okay, so that's almost everyone in the audience. How many of you build a Windows 8.1 application? Okay, that's actually a pretty good number. So that's good to know that there is an interest that's fairly evenly split. So I'll the demos that I'm going to show are primarily WPF, but I'll call out any differences that you might want to know when it comes to a Windows 10 application or even a Windows 8.1 application. So let's get started. The first experience I'm going to demonstrate today is the new XAML editor in Visual Studio. We have actually rebuilt it from the ground up using our .NET compiler platform technology that we affectionately know as Roslyn, because we wanted to provide a very seamless, fully integrated experience between XAML and your C# code. We think everyone should XAML is just sort of like an extension to the way you write code, and it doesn't make sense to have like a disparate experience. We tried to marry these together, and in this first release, we have added a few new features, but the key here is we have built the foundation to start adding significant new experiences as we evolve future versions of Visual Studio. The one thing I should mention is the XAML editor in Visual Studio is now completely decoupled from the designer. What that really means is the designer may not work. Let's say it's running some of your code and there's an exception, but the XAML editor will never stop working going forward. It'll be fast and fluid, and that's a promise we want to deliver with this version of Visual Studio, because we have heard you loud and clear. We cannot mess that part up. And then finally, like I said, what we have now is the foundation for an experience where we can start bringing newer and newer experiences for editing XAML to you quickly. And this is sort of like the first iteration. So let's get started. By the way, I'm going to primarily do demos, so I might go a little fast. So please feel free to correct at any point. So let me switch to my demo machine, which is 6. All right. So on screen here, I have a simple WPF application. It's just an extremely basic project management style application, but that's besides the point. The very first thing you'll notice is we still have a XAML designer in Visual Studio, and we're doing a lot of work in Visual Studio 2015 to make the designer more reliable and performant. That's something that we're doing anyway. But that said, we fully acknowledge that there are a number of you out there that think of Visual Studio as a coding environment and want to have the best full-screen code editing experience out there. For you guys, we are adding a couple of new capabilities to Visual Studio that I wanted to demonstrate to start with. The very first capability in Visual Studio that you can choose to do if your workflow is as such is you can go to the XAML Designer tab, and you now have a very clean checkbox that lets you turn off the designer if that's your workflow. Oops. I probably should not have Twitter running, but we'll ignore that. So let's go ahead and turn off the designer, hit OK, and it requires a restart of Visual Studio, so I'm just going to go ahead and do that. And now you'll notice that when the solution loads back in Visual Studio, it should have a full screen XAML editor experience that should give you the best possible experience for editing code. So that's one part of the workflow. But now, what have we done on top to improve your productivity? The first feature I wanted to show you is XAML Peek. XAML Peek allows you to take your content, no matter where it's coming from. It could be C# code, or it could be even XAML styles and resources that are coming from anywhere in your project. We bring that right in place where you want to edit it. That provides you with a very seamless editing experience for your XAML. So let's take a look. In this particular case, I have a window, and the window has a particular code behind backing it, in this case, main window. Let me go ahead and edit the main window code. Historically, what I'd have to do is I'd have to open mainwindow.xaml in the Solution Explorer, double-click, and then start making changes here. But what if I want to make a really quick edit to my C# code? What's the workflow in Visual Studio 2015? You can just right-click on anywhere in your XAML, hit Peek Definition, and we'll bring the C# code from wherever it is right in situ so you can edit it. And like you would expect, all of the editing operations are fully supported here. So in this case, let me go ahead and rename this particular class. So I'm going to say rename this to, let's say, Project Tracker Main Window. When you initiate the rename, you'll notice that we will go rename your XAML as well, and everything is very seamlessly integrated right inside your XAML editor. Just a quick another example of this exact experience. Let's go ahead and open up yet another XAML file. In this case, it's an event handler that I have here. Let's say I want to edit the event handler code. I just want to make a small tweak to it. I can go ahead and say peak definition and start editing the event handler from here as well. Now, of course, the expectation is that this is great for doing simple things like a tweak. But of course, if you want to make large scale code edits, you can just maximize that that peak window by clicking this guy, and then you can start editing your code in a more full fledged fashion. Okay, let me show you another experience that we have added in Visual Studio 2015 to show that. If you're a C# developer, you kind of, this is your bread and butter, which is the notion of regions. If you want to logically think about your code as organized into different sections, you would usually go back to your code and add regions. So let's go take a look. In this case, I'm just going to, just to show you the simple C# experience first so you can relate to it, I can go ahead and type a region. Say call this as my region as constructors, and then end region here. So that's what you would expect, and you've been doing all this while. But what if you had to do the same thing in XAML? You essentially end up having these really large XAML files with a lot of content, and you want to sort of logically organize them. So if you don't really care about a particular section of your XAML, you can just hide that away and work with the rest of the XAML document. So in Visual Studio 2015, we have added region support to the XAML editor as well. To show that in action, let's go ahead and bring up IntelliSense and just type the word region. You will see there are a couple of new entries for adding regions to your XAML. Go ahead and edit regions, and then give it a name. So in this case, I'm going to call it my tab control, because that's what I really want to sort of isolate out. And then I'm going to go to the end of the tab control and end this particular region. Yet again, I'll just type end region. When I do that, my XAML editor now, just like my C# editor, lets me collapse away a particular part of the XAML. And thank you. and hide that away so I can continue to focus on the part that I want. Now, when we were designing, here's an anecdotal story. When we were designing this feature, we asked our MVPs, you know, do you guys like this or not? Actually, surprisingly, a lot of people actually don't like it. You know, I don't know why. I love it, but there we go. But hey, if it fits your workflow and your team's workflow, go ahead and use it. You know, it could be useful for some people. Okay, so that's my quick overview of the XAML language service in Visual Studio. There are a few more small things we have added, but you know, I'm not, in the interest of time, I'm going to skip past those and go to my next section of the demo. But before I switch, I wanted to tell some backstory about Blend. Blend for Visual Studio has been a cornerstone for XAML development ever since it came into existence about, I would say 2006, something like that, like about 10 years ago. Over time, we have added a bunch of new capabilities to Blend and, of course, Visual Studio as well. But the gap between Blend and Visual Studio when it comes to doing certain activities has, you know, kind of broadened. There are things that, you know, you just wished you could just do this extra bit in either Visual Studio and Blend, but you can't because that capability doesn't exist. We wanted to go address that. We still believe Visual Studio is the place where you would go and edit your XAML code, debug your application, profile your application. That's the best environment out there. But there is the need for a home for activities that you would typically associate with UI design and development. And we still believe that Blend's the right place for that, where we want to expose capabilities that help you build amazing user experiences. So in this release, we have redesigned Blend from the ground up. But before I talk about that, let me just quickly talk about some of the themes of feedback that we have heard from you guys, our users. Things like XAML IntelliSense. Ever since the first version of Blend, if you think about the trajectory for IntelliSense, it has kind of gone down, like to the point where it's barely usable in Blend for Visual Studio 2013. It's very common for people to use Visual Studio and Blend on different monitors or even on the same monitor and switch back and forth. Moving files, you know, when you sort of like change the same file in both the IDEs, move things around, it's actually pretty cumbersome. You get the series of reload dialogues and you're kind of confused and you don't really know why is Visual Studio asking me this question, why is Blend asking me this question. That's an experience that's pretty frustrating for people out there. And then simple, trivial things like, you know, being able to expand and collapse nodes in the Solution Explorer or Git support. Visual Studio added Git, like a year or two ago, and Blend just doesn't have that. We wanted to take this release to address some of these limitations and make Blend such a productive environment that was historically designed to be. So we are happy to introduce like Blend for Visual Studio 2015, which is actually built from the ground up, leveraging a number of Visual Studio technologies. We wanted to bring sort of like the best of Visual Studio that is out there and the Blend capabilities and marry them together, and that's what you'll see in the demo today. We have worked hard to retain almost all of the unique capabilities of Blend, with a few exceptions. Some of those are still on our backlog. We just haven't been able to get to them in the current RC that was released you know, about a couple days ago. But the way we think about this is, it's again the start of a journey. Just like the XAML language service, we have built a foundation for, you know, allowing our team to bring the best-in-class design tools to you guys on top of what we are starting here. So with that said, let's take a tour of the new Blend. So here's the project that I was editing. Let me go ahead and save all these files. Now, historically, if you think about Visual Studio and being able to interoperate with Blend, one of the ways we floated this was right-click on a particular XAML file and choose to edit in Blend. We have brought that capability to now all XAML projects, including WPF. So what you can now do is you can right-click on any XAML file. In this case, let me just go ahead and take a look at mainwindow.xaml. And we have a context menu command available called design in Blend. Let's go ahead and open up Blend. Because I chose to invoke it on a particular XAML file, in this case, mainwindow.xaml, we try to retain the context inside Blend, so it's a fairly seamless shift between Blend and Visual Studio. Just to show you another example, let's go back to Visual Studio and right-click on yet another XAML file, let's say dashboard, and design in Blend. we'll figure out that the solution is already loaded in an existing instance of Blend, and then like seamlessly switch over the XAML file to sort of open up there. So what's new in Blend for Visual Studio 2015? Off the bat, and the monitor probably, or the projector probably doesn't make it very obvious, you'll notice that we have introduced a new theme. It's actually based on the Visual Studio Dark theme. We have just made a number of tweaks to make it a little bit more friendly to people who are doing UI development. It's slightly darker than the Visual Studio theme that exists in Visual Studio today. So if you take a look at tools options, you will see that there is a new theme and that's only available in Blend, which is the Blend theme, in addition to the Visual Studio themes as well. So if you think you're a big fan of a lighter theme or the blue theme, you can do that as well. But we have added a theme that is unique to Blend. Let me cancel out of this dialogue and walk you through the rest of the product. We have only brought in features from Visual Studio where it makes sense, like source control and project system, solution explorer and things like that. We haven't brought in tools like unit testing and architecture and all these things because Visual Studio is still the place you would go to do all of these activities. Let's take a tour of some of the new panels inside Blend. The Solution Explorer is the exact same Solution Explorer that you would find in Visual Studio. And as a result of that, all of the feedback that you have historically had, the lack of solution folders or the ability to expand and collapse nodes, all of that is now available and consistent across Blend and Visual Studio. So in this case, let's say I just wanted to collapse all the nodes. I can just do it. Something, I mean, this is trivial, right? But people have been asking since 2006 for this feature. I mean, people have been asking Visual Studio for the many, many years before Visual Studio got that as well. So anyways, the point is we wanted to bring all of these to the Blend customer as well. The assets pane in Blend is the place you would go to create assets and add them to your project. We have retained the old experience and not moved over to the Visual Studio Toolbox because the Blend experience is actually very powerful. You can see things like behaviors, which are ways to add no-code interactivity to your application, things like styles that you can incorporate, and various kinds of media, like, for example, in this case, image. We have kept all of the Blend capabilities. So, for example, you can drag and drop images to your design surface and so on and so forth. All of that has been maintained to allow you to sort of like focus on asset integration and creation of good-looking content and experiences inside Blend. The states pane is where you would go to create and edit VSM states. There is really no change here. We retained the exact same functionality, and hopefully we'll make it better in the future. The triggers pane, if you're a WPF developer, you kind of know what triggers are. You get the same capability Blend for Visual Studio 2015 as well. And then data pane. This is where you would go to create and edit your sample data so you can effectively visualize your design environment and make changes. We have brought in all of the sample data features into Blend for Visual Studio 2015 as well. The object and timeline tree, of course, like you would expect, is the place where you'd go and make changes like animations. We support that as well. So let's go ahead and create an animation. The panel comes up, and you can start recording your animation. So all of that capabilities have been retained, and in some cases, we have made improvements, which I'll discuss in a second as well. The properties window, I'm not going to talk much about it. It's just a listing of properties that you can go and edit. The resources pane is there as well, so you can visualize all of the resources in your application and make changes to them. So in this case, I can see all of the resources that are coming from my app.xaml and make changes, as well as the Team Explorer. This is the place you would go to do your source control and team-related management activities like creating work items and things like that. So with that said, you might have a few questions like, what are the kinds of things that are different between Blend for Visual Studio 2013 and Blend for Visual Studio 2015? One of the big differences is workspaces. Blend historically used to have two workspaces, one for design and one for animation. Well, Visual Studio has an even better workspace management system in Visual Studio 2015, and we thought, why just not leverage that? So what you can do in Visual Studio 2015, and you guys probably have seen this in a different session, is go and create a workspace layout. So in this case, my default layout is the one that I use for most activities. So I'm just going to save it off as default. But then I really like my animation view to be like a much broader view than what's available by default in that constrained 300 pixel window. So I can just drag and drop my object and timeline tree to the bottom of the panel, bottom of Blend, and then go ahead and save this workspace as a different layout. So in this case, I'm going to say, let me go ahead and save this as my animation layout. And once you do that, you can now quickly switch between these two layouts by just going back to the window menu and seeing those options there. So let's say you want to revert back to the default. You just hit default, and so on and so forth. So in some ways, just because of using the Visual Studio Shell, you get a better workspace management set of capabilities in Blend as a result of that as well. Now let's look at some of Blend's core experiences, which comes to editing XAML. Let's go ahead and select a particular element. By the way, I should say the tool strip, which is the way you will go and create, select elements and pan the design surface. So for example, you want to move the design surface around, has been brought closer to the design surface, so you don't have to move your mouse as much if you want to reach out the controls for selection and things like that. Let's go ahead and select a tab control here. So in this case, I'm going to select dashboard. And my goal is to edit the look and feel of this tab item, which is coming from a style that is applied to that tab item. Blend's great at styling activities, and we continue to be good at that. You can right-click on a particular style. You can edit its template. And we'll sort of bring template editing to you. Now, the unique thing here is the style is actually coming from a completely different XAML document, right? It's coming from app.xaml. But your design experience hasn't really changed. It's almost as if you're editing mainpage.xaml, but your content is actually coming from app.xaml. How's that obvious? Let's bring up the XAML editor. Using Peek, we are able to bring in the style that's existing in anywhere in your application, style as in brush or resource or anything, and bring it right in place so you can edit it in the context of the larger document that you're editing. In this case, your main window.xaml. The Peek experience also allows users to sort of focus on the content that they are editing immediately and not the rest of the XAML that exists in the document. So in this case, I want to make a change. I want to change the foreground of this tab item. So I'm going to select the value property, and I'm going to change it to red. By the way, we get full IntelliSense just like Visual Studio for all XAML platforms, including WPF and Windows 10 applications. So I'm going to go ahead and make a change. And you note that as soon as I made the change, my design surface updated over here, if you see it over here. And I did all of that without actually leaving my context that I was just editing at. And the thing is, if you notice, based on the asterisk on app.xaml, the actual edit was committed to a different document. So we've made it possible for you to seamlessly edit XAML, no matter where it's coming from, right in the context of your application, without switching documents and moving things around. Hopefully this should improve productivity of using Blend as well. Now, let me go ahead and save all these changes. Let me close these files. I couldn't actually hear you very well. If you don't mind coming to the mic and asking the question, I would really appreciate it. Thank you. And by the way, folks in the webcast, can also hear you better if you asked via the mic.
So I like the feature quite well. It's really cool. But does it only work on XAML, or does it work on the property panel as well?
The question is,
I didn't see anything right on the property
panel. The question is, we edited a style, in this case, coming from app.xaml while you were editing your main window. Does that really work in the properties or resources as well?
Okay.
Yes, and it does. So you should be able to go and edit a brush resource using the resource panel,
yeah,
and it should reflect itself in the designer without you having to switch to app.xaml.
Okay, thanks.
No problem, thank you. So let's go ahead and save all these changes here. Sorry about that, save all. And let me open up my main window back up again to show you the next experience. Okay, so now, time moves along and you're using Visual Studio. You go back to Visual Studio and start making some changes. Oops, right here. So what I want to do is, and this is the dialogue that we are going to address in a second. Let's say we want to go and make some changes. In this case, I want to change the title of the application from Project Tracker to My Project Tracker, right? So I go and make a change. Now notice what happens if I switch back to Blend if I want to do something else. You'll get a dialog that says, you know, what should I do? Should I reload all the files or not? In Visual Studio 2015, for both Blend and Visual Studio, we have added the option to reload files automatically if you haven't really made any changes in either product. So you can just right-click on that and say yes to all, and we'll just seamlessly reload the changes into Blend in this case. Let me just zoom in a little bit so you can see what I'm saying. The change has been updated. Just to prove this one more time, let's go back to Visual Studio and make yet another change. In this case, I'm going to type the word updated, save it, come back to Blend, and it should seamlessly update without any dialogues or warnings or anything like that. Thank you. Now, one other capability, and before we switch gears into some of the other tools that I wanted to demonstrate, is accessibility. Accessibility is actually a really important experience for all of us, and we've done a lot of work in Blend for Visual Studio 2015 to make the product more accessible. So users with disabilities can use Blend and actually can get a lot done. Pretty much everything in Blend is now accessible. To show this point, let me actually just move away from using the mouse and just use the keyboard. I can just use Control Tab, switch over to, let's say, the Resources pane, and we bring it back to the front. And then you can tab around and start selecting and editing content. So in this case, I want to navigate the tree view. Without using the mouse, I can just move things around. Let's say I want to go rename a particular resource. I can just go hit the F2 key, and then I can initiate the user rename as well. Even though this is an accessibility feature, I know most developers are really, really keyboard focused, and some of the work that we have done here should help you as well. So all of Blend can now be navigated with a keyboard. Everything is like you would expect, fully keyboard accessible. Okay, thank you. Yes.
So in the states panel for Universal App XAML, mm-hmm. There's the new state triggers.
Yeah.
And are those supported yet, or what is the plan for those?
Yeah, so the question is, are state triggers, which is a new feature for Windows 10 Universal Apps, will they be supported? Not in today's Visual Studio 2015 RC build, but it will be supported in the final Visual Studio 2015 RTM build. So we will allow you to select states. When you make a change, we will serialize the edit back into the setter syntax that they've added in the XAML platform, and we'll also allow you to create adaptive triggers as well as preview those on the designer. So all of that is coming in the near future, just not in today's RC build. Good question, though. So, okay, let's switch back to the slides for a second and talk about my favorite feature in Visual Studio 2015, UI debugging for XAML applications. We have integrated a live visual tree and a property explorer fully into the debugging experience, so you can quickly inspect the visual tree of your application as you're debugging it. You can see the properties for different elements, and you can do a lot more that I'll show via demos. The one thing that's worth reiterating is we see this as a debugging feature, but more importantly, we also see this as a foundation for building edit and continue for XAML. We don't want you to restart your debugging session just because you made a simple XAML change. We want to sort of make it possible that we can push the edit back into XAML if you so desire, and sort of get to the point where we can support editing and continuing XAML. But right now where we are is it is a debugging tool, and let me show this in action. So let me switch back to my display over here, and show this in the context of the project that we are currently building. Now, the capabilities are available in Blend and Visual Studio both, but I'm going to do my demos in Visual Studio just because the light theme is slightly better to view online. So let me go ahead and hit F5 on this application and start making some changes. The application launches under the debugger just like you would expect. Before I talk about the tools themselves, a quick navigation through the application because we're going to be making some changes to this. It's a simple tab control, like you have a dashboard with it's like a project management style application. There's a dashboard with like a map control and a panel for seeing some data. The reason I just wanted to show this is we're going to fix some of the problems that you're seeing here. For example, there is nothing showing up in this dropdown. Okay. So switch back to Visual Studio, and as soon as you start debugging, you will see a new window that is pinned on the left-hand side called the Live Visual Tree. If you expand and pin it, you will see that it's tracking the visual tree of the application as you're making changes to it. So in this case, the tree has 999 elements by default. And that's the case because that's the view I've currently brought up in my application. Now notice what happens if I change to a different view. So let's say I change to time entry. The visual tree automatically, dynamically updates and shows you the updated visual tree without you having to press the refresh button. In the rare case where the tree gets out of synchronization, we have given you the fallback refresh button, but we really hope you don't have to ever use it because it's truly live and tracking all of the edits as you're making them in real time. What are some of the other characteristics? Of course, you should be able to select and search for a particular element. So you can just say tab control, and you should be able to see the tab controls in this particular XAML file or in this particular view. But that's not important enough for this demo. Let's take a look at a couple of other capabilities. Over here on the top left of this live visual tree is a tool for enabling selection in your running application. So let's go ahead and turn that on and go back and interact with the application. You can no longer interact with the application per se. That is, you can't drive the application, but you can drive selection for the live visual tree. So in this case, let's say I wanted to select dashboard so that I want to make a change and see how it looks like. I can just click it, and we'll synchronize it back into the live visual tree so you can start pushing some changes. We also have the capacity to show layout adorners in your running application. So let's go ahead and select that and switch back to the running application. You should be able to see things like padding and margin communicated via those yellow lines, and your normal alignment communicated via those blue lines. So you can diagnose those nasty issues where things don't correctly align and you're trying to figure out what's really happening and so on and so forth. Thank you. And one final thing before we switch over to making some changes is this section here for previewing your selection. What that really is selection synchronization. These icons, if you notice them, if you just mouse over them, we are tracking the source for your XAML no matter where it comes from, and that gives us the ability to synchronize when you want to do so. So let's go ahead and right-click on, let's say, the tab control and hit view source. We will automatically take you to the location in your source code where the tab control is defined, so you can start making changes to your XAML and get them reflected in the running application. But if your workflow is such that you want this to happen automatically, just make sure you turn on the preview selection and start clicking around. So we will automatically synchronize. In this case, I just selected tab item, and we automatically synchronized your selection to the tab item. My workflow is I want to do it manually, so I kind of keep it off, but that really depends on you. So let me go ahead and turn all of these options off and then talk about the next experience, which is the Property Explorer. To bring up the Properties Explorer, you can just click the Show Properties button over here, and that brings up the Properties Explorer on the right-hand side. Now, the way we have categorized these properties could appear a little confusing up front, but once you understand what's going on, I think it's going to add a lot of value. We categorize these properties by the way they are applied by the running application. So if you know WPF, local properties are first applied, override properties that are coming from the style, that then they override the properties that are coming from the platform by default. That's really the vision that we're trying to communicate here with the Live Properties Explorer. I have properties that are local to my element, followed by properties that are coming from the style, followed by properties that are coming from the system style, and then everything else that's thrown after that. Now, what this allows us to do is, if you take a look at if you expand one of these categories, you'll see that some of these properties have a strike through them. What that really means is, just like we have tools in F12 for IE to help you understand when a property is set but not getting used, that's when the strike through is. So in this case, is selected a struck through because the value is set via coercion in the runtime, and the value is actually coming from really code in this case, so we can't really show you the source of that operation. But for places where we can show you the source, we will, and let's take a look at that demo. Now that I've selected the tab item, the first thing I want to do is make some changes to it, right? So let's go to the running application real quick, and what I've selected here is this tab item. So notice that everything is blue, and that's fine. Let's go ahead and open the style. You will see that the background is of this particular tab item, which is a blue, is coming from this tile. Let's go ahead and make a change. So if I make it red and switch back to the running application, both the tab items, we find out all the styles no matter where they are, and we apply the edit to the running application. So your application now reflects the real style that you just changed, or you temporarily changed to preview how it looks like against the running application. So that said, how do you set a property that was never set before? So in this case, what I want to do is there are two tab items, both are red. I want to make one red and another green. What do? I select the tab item that I care about. In this case, it's already selected. And I can just start setting any random properties that I want. In this case, I want to set the background property local to the style element, to the tab item. Just select the background property and make it, let's say, pink. You will see that when you did that operation, the property that came from the style now is struck through, which means it is no longer applicable. And the property that is set locally is the one that's going to win. So if I switch back, you will see that the one of the tab item styles is now set to pink, whereas the other one, and there is only two of them here, is set to red because it is coming from the style. Let's go ahead and make, I did this operation. I realized that I made a mistake. How do I come out of it? You can just go ahead and reset any property that you want. So in this case, I'm going to go ahead and reset the pink property that I just set. And I go back to the running application. It's all updated. And let's say I made a mistake on the entire style, and I want to sort of test it as to how it looks like without the property being set. I can even go to a property on a style and reset it as well. Give it a second. And then the property should be reset across the application as well. So we have done a lot of work to push edits that you care about. If you want to quickly test as to how the application is going to react if you make a small change, you no longer have to go to the XAML, make the change, run the application, realize that you made a mistake, come back to XAML, make a change again, and so on and so forth. We made it really productive for you to sort of quickly push visual tree edits to the running application. Yes, sir?
Logging of those changes?
So the question is there any way to do logging of the changes? The answer is not today, but this is where we are going, actually. Where we're going is every time you make the change, we want to push that back into your XAML, and then that's your log. So you can choose to sort of close all the documents and say save all, or don't save all because I made a mistake, or you can choose to sort of specifically save certain files that you care about. We have some more advanced capabilities that we are thinking about it, but in this release, it's just a push that we're making to the running application. Okay, let me show you a couple more experiences that are actually neat when we talk about debugging your application visually. The first thing is editing collections. Like if you think about WPF or Universal Apps, there are a lot of things that are collections, like row definitions and column definitions and even gradients for a particular brush resource. We have the ability to edit collections. So in this case, I'm going to select this grid. And for this grid, you can see that the row definition is set locally, and it has a couple of entries associated with it. I can go ahead and start making changes to these collections as well. So in this case, let's go to the second row definition and say my height is not auto anymore, but it's hard-coded to 400. Switch back to the running application, and now it's kind of weird, but you can see we have enabled you to edit collections as well. If I make a mistake and I don't really like what I'm doing, I can just type it back to auto, go back to the application, and everything is reset back again. Now, one of the things that folks have been asking for a long time is debugging data bindings. And that's really, hard, because often something goes wrong, you don't get, enough information, what can you do about it? Now, there are two experiences when we think about data binding. One is like your typical breakpoints experience where you just want to set a breakpoint and break and, figure out what went wrong. That's an experience that we care about. We just haven't built it yet in Visual Studio 2015. But let me show you another quick way of you debugging a particular data binding. In this case, I have an issue in my second tab, and without actually turning off the selection tool, I can't navigate to the second tab. So let me go ahead and turn off the selection tool and navigate to the second tab in the application. I have a couple of combo boxes that don't have any entries in them, and I'm wondering why that's the case. How would I debug this issue? One option would be you select the combo box, And say, hey, where exactly is this combo box coming from? And this is actually pretty hard if you don't actually own the XAML. So the selection tool is actually useful just to get there. But you can then go to the combo box itself and view the source. And you can kind of see in this case, you know, it's an obvious mistake to a binding. But let's say that was not as obvious. How would you debug this issue? One way of doing this would be to look at the data context and figure out where the data context is coming from in the visual tree, and then figure out where your binding is sort of breaking. So if you search for the data context property, we allow you to sort of search for it, but at the same time, in this case, you can see that it is set to my view model. But you can also expand it and look at all of the properties and values that it's coming from. In this case, I know that ours is an observable collection. I can expand it, and all of the values are there as well. So I know that, you know, the data model itself is correct. I just did a mistake in my binding. That way you can sort of just by traversing the visual tree and taking a look at the data context, you can fairly effectively diagnose certain class of binding issues. Now, I'm not saying that's equivalent to putting a breakpoint. I think there is value in both propositions. This is one of the experiences that we wanted to deliver in Visual Studio 2015. So that's my quick tour of UI debugging tools for XAML. Any specific questions so far before I switch gears? Okay, so let me switch back to slides for a second. Like I said, you know, the big things we want to do going forward is pushing the edits that you just made back to your XAML. That's a feature that we really want to do. And then eventually, like, build some more richer visualizations for debugging data bindings and things like that. Let's switch gears to profiling tools. In Visual Studio 2015, we have introduced a few new profiling tools, in particular the timeline tool that allows you to understand UI responsiveness issues. Why is my application not really starting up fast? Why are there issues when users are working with my application? We have a network tool that allows you to monitor network requests and things like that. We do support WPF and Windows Universal Apps with all of these tools. But today, I'm going to demo in the context of WPF. They do work for all scenarios. And the other thing to note is these tools only work if you're running on Windows 8 today. But we are working for in Visual Studio 2015. They will also work if you're running on Windows 7. So that's really not an issue. It's just a point-in-time thing. So what are these tools capable of? Let's go ahead and take a quick look at those. Let me close this solution and open up yet another solution that helps me diagnose, show a performance issue, diagnose, and fix it. In this case, I have a simple stock ticker application. Let me go ahead and run it. The first thing you will notice is when the app starts up, it takes some time. It takes about 5 to 7 seconds. So let me just give it about 5 seconds. So 5 seconds later, the app starts, and that's not good because your users are not going to be very happy. So let's go ahead and take a look at what went wrong in terms of startup and why it's slow. In Visual Studio 2015, you can also run profiling tools, just like you'd expect. In this case, I'm going to select the CPU usage tool, which is, you know, one potential reason why my app could be slow. But then I'm going to select this new tool that we've introduced, which is the timeline tool. This allows you to visualize what's really happening in your XAML application. By the way, this is a WPF application that I'm demonstrating. So let's go ahead and hit yes and start a profiling session. I don't really have to do anything. Visual Studio is collecting all the ETW data, it should just take a second. And let me go ahead and stop the collection. Give it a couple seconds for Visual Studio to analyze all that ETW data, aggregate it, and present it in the form of a report that you potentially can act on. So once that's happened, you'll get a report with a graph that sort of gives you a high-level overview of what really has happened. All these blue bars over here, some sort of parsing is happening. You're trying to create some sort of XAML element, and that's taking a bunch of time. All these orange bars over here, some significant layout operation is happening. As you can see, that application had a lot of elements, and hence you should expect quite a bit of layout to happen in that case. Now, in Visual Studio 2015, we have added the notion of grouping certain kinds of logical events in a way that makes sense to you. So in this case, we have a logical group of events that we bucket together in an application startup, and that's really the problem I'm trying to diagnose at this point. Why is my application not starting up quickly? I can just right-click on an event, and say, I just want to investigate this event and I don't really care about anything else, I can hit filter to event. What Visual Studio has now done is it has captured all of the events that only correspond or contribute to that delay and group them together to show them under application startup. And now I can start looking at certain issues. There is some garbage collection happening, but that's not really significant. Majority of the work seems to be still happening in parsing main window. I can expand it. I can see exactly what happened. It's another yet another main window. But really, like the problem is once when I look at all of this code, I kind of know that my application startup is slow, and it's constructing main window that's causing an issue. But what do I do next? That's where cooperative profiling, which is the ability to run two tools together, could come to help. In this case, I'm going to switch over to the CPU usage tool, and I'm going to look at what exactly happened when I look at my CPU usage. Let's go ahead and right-click and say, in this case, I know that 57% of the time has been spent in this one function. I can keep drilling down to say, okay, you know, where is it that most of the work is happening? I get to this point where that's my code, and beyond that is platform code. It's the getData function that's doing something. Let's go ahead and take a look at what's happening. I can just right-click, view source, and start inspecting as to what my code is doing. In this case, just because I know my code, I'm fetching data synchronously, and that's causing my UI to pause. The fix is pretty simple. Just do a task dot run when I'm calling that particular function. Wrap it in a anonymous delegate here. And that's pretty much it, all I have to do to fix this particular function. I've zeroed in on the problem. In this case, it's a fairly simple issue. But I've zeroed in on the problem, I've fixed it, and now when I run it, the app should hopefully, if everything works, start up faster. And everything should get populated asynchronously as well as, you know, as it did today, synchronously on the UI thread. Let me actually switch gears to show the memory profiler for a second. So go back to my old project tracking application. And there is a memory issue in this application. It's using a lot of memory. How do I know what's going on? You can, again, use the profiling tools in Visual Studio. And you can turn on the memory usage tool. The memory usage tool, by the way, one of the unique capabilities is it helps you track both native and managed memory. So in case your application has a lot of native memory allocations going on, you can choose to do that as well. But in this case, it's a pure managed application, and I don't really have to worry about native code. So let's go ahead and start profiling. And what you can do is, the way you do memory profiling usually is you would take a snapshot before your operation that you just did. Wait for a second for that snapshot to complete. Now do your memory-intensive operation. In this case, when I select my time entry and I select my report view, it's actually causing a bunch of allocations. Take another snapshot and start diffing the two to figure out what extra objects were created, why they were created, and so on and so forth. So let me stop the profiling session and give Visual Studio a second to analyze the data and take a look at what exactly went wrong. Just one second. Hopefully it should come through. There we go. And you can see, like, between these two snapshots, there was a growth of about 3 MB. The question is why, and that's the question you're trying to answer. And a bunch of objects were allocated as well. If you select the hyperlink, Visual Studio should give you a detailed report of what objects were created, who's holding on to those objects, and things like that. In this case, two new data grids were created, and they sort of, if you expand these, they together almost add up to like 3 MB. So that's where most of your allocations is coming from. Using things like what they are referencing and things like that, you can narrow down to the actual root cause of who's doing the instantiation, and then go ahead and fix the problem using the memory tools in Visual Studio. Cool. Thank you. I'm going to switch gears to show my last experience. Any questions about the profiling tools? Yes, sir. So the question is, what versions of Visual Studio have this experience? The memory tool is available in Visual Studio 2013, but it only works on Windows 8.1 right now. The memory and timeline tools are both available in Visual Studio 2015, and they should, by the time we are done, work on Windows 7 or higher. Okay, since we are running out of time, I'm going to be able to do just one of the three experiences. I wanted to do all three. This is an experience that is very specific to Windows, Universal Windows apps, and that's about how do you do adaptive UI, which is how do you sort of make your UI look great when it's running on a bunch of displays. There are a multitude of approaches that you can take, all the way from controls that just do smart things. You don't really have to do anything. Just make sure that you're using the right controls, and they will do the right thing for you. You can, like the gentleman was asking, you can use state triggers. So you can switch to a visual state. That's all fine. But what if you really wanted to do like a completely tailored view for a device, right? What if your Xbox UI was so different than your phone UI or your desktop UI that you really wanted to do something different? That's the experience what I'm going to show, because the other two were already covered in some of the other sessions. And in particular, there are some really interesting developer tricks that you can do for this last experience. Let me show that in action by opening up a Universal Windows application. I'm going to run this application. First, I've designed this application to run on my mobile device. And let me go ahead and run it. When I run this application, how do I feel about this build quality? Good question. Let me go ahead and select a category and look at certain appetizers. You'll see that the view looks great. Oops. Great question. Sorry about that. There we go. Sorry. The application looks great. Like, you can just navigate around, and the UX is actually fairly optimized for the mobile device. Now I'm ready to bring desktop into the mix, and I want to run this application on my machine, right? Let's go ahead and run this app and see how it looks like on my own machine or a simulator if I so desire. Give it a second. The app boots up. You can select a particular appetizer. You can select something out there. But see, the UI doesn't really look great because it's optimized for mobile, and I'm really running it in a full screen desktop mode in this particular scenario. So what can I do about it? The reason I'm showing this experience is in Visual Studio 2015, we're doing a bunch of work so you can share code across XAML files as well. And the way you do that is to just add a XAML view to your application. Let's go ahead and do that. Let's go ahead and create a new folder. In this case, I'm going to call it device family desktop. And I'm going to go and add a new XAML view to it. In this case, I can just do an add new item and pick a XAML view and type a whole bunch of XAML that optimizes for that user experience. But I'm not going to do that because that's going to take a bunch of time. Let me just go ahead and add an existing file that I already created before, and I'll open it and show it what it is. It's just a regular XAML file with user experience that's optimized for the desktop form factor. Nothing really fancy. But the thing to note here is it does not have a code behind. If you look at the X:: class, it doesn't have any code behind it. That's because all of the code is shared with the generic file that already exists, in which case it is recipe instructions.xaml.cs. So what we've enabled you to do is to give multiple XAML files the same code behind, so you can reuse code across these XAML files and do everything else. Like, your event handlers are shared and your everything else is shared, except your XAML is different, right? What does that mean for us when I build and run? Let's go ahead and build and run this application and take a look at how it looks like. Hopefully, it should fix the problem. Now, if I go ahead and select my appetizer and I select this thing, it looks pretty good, I guess. So we've done a lot of work to tailor this particular view. Now, you could have done this using any of the other techniques as well. That's really up to you. But if you have dramatically different user experiences, this is one of the techniques that you can consider to make sure that your app looks great on certain form factors. One thing I wanted to talk about this particular experience, let me go ahead and you guys know what initialize component is, which is the way we load the XAML. But one thing about Universal Windows apps is if I go to my initialize component, we now have an override for the initialize component where you can pass in any XAML URI, and we'll load that URI as a part of the instantiation of the control. So you could write some really complex business logic that sort of calculates what's the best possible UI that can potentially serve your customer, and then just call into initialize component with that URI, load it, and display it. This allows you to create really tailored user experiences for your customers, for the form factors that you care about most. So let's quickly switch back to slides and summarize. So we have seen a number of new experiences in Visual Studio 2015 for XAML tools. You can get a little bit more of the details on various sessions and things like that. In particular, I mean, now it's kind of like, you can go to MSDN and view these if you have missed some of these sessions. There are a couple of sessions that are specifically dedicated to creating great user experiences that work great across devices. I just wanted to show one technique because that's primarily a code reuse technique more than anything else. But you can use a number of these techniques to build great user experiences. Please don't forget to complete the evaluation form. For some reason, I don't have that barcode scanner thingy, but I'd really appreciate it. It'll help us improve and bring better content to you in the future. And with that said, I'll open up the question floor to any questions. Thanks a lot for taking the time to attend. I really appreciate it. Yes. Go for it, sir.
For the live XAML editing, is it compatible with like Windows Phone? Is it like the simulator, or can devices do it too?
Yeah, so the question is, we call it the UI debugging tools for XAML, but I get what you're saying. Are the UI debugging tools for XAML compatible with devices? And absolutely. No matter where your app is running on, it could be an Xbox, it could be Windows Phone, we should be able to let you select and edit it and push the edits as well.
Awesome, thanks.
Thank you.
For the tailored view, the switching that was happening there, was that automatic based on the folder name that you gave?
Yeah, so the question, I'll just repeat it just in case. I think the mic is actually. Is the feature for tailored views, does the switching happen automatically? In this particular case, yes, because we are basically using the resource manager in Windows to load the right resource. But like the reason I wanted to show this experience particularly is because you have full control over that. In the most cases, you should not just depend on the name of the device family because it's sometimes hard to make that distinction. If you wanted to do it, that's fine. But you can also choose to sort of like write custom code and figure out what's the best possible view and call initialize component with that particular XAML file to load the view. But yes, the answer, short answer is yes.
Okay, yeah, it seemed sort of some similarities to WPF themes. There are fixed names that match up with stuff.
Exactly.
So that device family, that's a specific OS.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you. Yes.
Does the profiler actually available as a service?
Is the profiler available as a service? By this question, I'm guessing you're asking, can you run it from a command line or something like that?
No, if I deployed my app like someplace else and I want to profile it like another machine.
We don't support, so the question is, if it's a remote scenario, can we profile it? Mm-hmm. We don't support launching an app remotely for profiling. Right. That's something that we want to address in the future. But today, it has to be run locally. By remote, you can run it on the device, and you can profile against it. Mm-hmm. But you can't run it across using an IP address or something like that, and then profile it there.
Yeah.
You can certainly do it for your devices that are connected. Yes, sir?
For the live properties, if you examine the data context, does that cause lazy loaded properties to get unlazy loaded, like to get their value?
That's a good question. So the question, I actually don't, I would say we don't do anything specific, but because we are querying the data context property, whether something special happens, that's a good question. We don't do anything specific. We just query the runtime for the data context, show it, and do it. But as a part of the getter, if you do something smarter, then yeah, that'll execute as well.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes.
Hi. Is there any chance to support the new tools with the Xamarin.Forms XAML, or is it something out of the question?
So the question is, do we want to support Xamarin.Forms? I mean, that's an
XAML of Xamarin.Forms.
XAML of Xamarin.Forms. The tools have been built with an architecture that's very agnostic, and we can plug in anything. In our first iteration, they will still be optimized for Windows client applications. But that's something that is interesting to us as well.
Thank you very much.
No problem. Any other questions?
Will there be a blend version for universal apps?
Will there be a blend version for universal apps? Actually, Blender is there for all XAML platforms. There is no such thing as Blend for Universal Apps. If you get Visual Studio 2015 Community, which is our free edition, you'll get Blend, and Blend will have support for all kinds of XAML apps, including Windows Universal Apps. Any other questions? OK, all right. Thanks, everyone. I'm happy to answer your questions here as well.